welcome to Goddess Talk. I am Russ Goldman. In this special episode, I'll be talking once again to James Kent, who is a Norwich City supporter, and he currently writes for the website All Sports News. He's on to give us the opposition view of this match between Fulham and Norwich City. We have much to discuss, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome James back to the show. He's been on several times. James, how you doing?
Hi, Russ. I'm good. How are you?
I am well, my friend. Before we go any further, tell everyone about the website you're writing for right now.
Right. Well, I'm writing on a website called All Sports News, and it's kind of in a bit of a transitional phase at the moment. But, you know, the idea is for them to cover all sports. At the moment, it's much more focused on the football side. From my point of view, I'm basically covering the championship. So most of what I write or almost all of it will be purely on the championship. So, you know, that's going to include stuff about Fulham and just various other clubs within the championship.
Listen, I recommend everyone go into this website. James, you've been running some very interesting articles, so definitely check that out. All right, my friend, let's get into our preview from your point of view as a Norwich City supporter. So let's start with talking about the new manager, Daniel Farke. What were your thoughts about his appointment and just in general, how he has worked out so far with your club?
Yeah, I mean, we got in Stuart Webber as our new sporting director end of last season, who obviously was at Huddersfield previously. And, you know, he was very much the driving force between the appointment of David Wagner to Huddersfield that we know was such a successful deal. And it wasn't a great surprise to see him try and do something similar with Norwich. So he's gone back to the German market, although we understand he looked well at the British market, considered Gary Monk quite seriously. But in the end, decided that Daniel Farke was the man. Who, I think it was incidental, you know, coincidental that he happened to be at Borussia Dortmund, that Wagner was. I don't think that was necessarily a strategy. It was a case of who's good in the German market, yeah. And Daniel Farke was someone who stuck out, and he's very well respected from what we understand in German football, someone that Dortmund were keen to hold on to, but he actually wanted to progress his career more than just being, you know, their reserve coach or whatever, and wanted to move on to something he considered to be bigger. And, you know, Norwich came calling, and it seemed like a good fit. And, you know, he's 40, so he's a good age for me, because I think modern football is all about these young managers who have got fresh ideas and see the game a bit differently. So he fits that for me. But also he's got experience, because he was at his local team before that, and he spent 10 years there, and he got some really good experience. And crucially, he worked as a sporting director for some of that time. And this is the other point for me, is that, you know, I know the media will have their ideas about who Norwich should be appointing and everything else, but it was vital that they found someone who would fit and understand the structure that they were going with. And Daniel clearly does. He's clearly happy to work with Webber. He's happy for Webber to take more control over transfers, and he understands that role and that job, and the relationship between those two is going to be crucial to make this work, rather than necessarily Daniel Farke being the best manager in the world. It's about how well, you know, the team works together as well. So for me, it's a very exciting and progressive choice.
It seems like it, and I've been really looking into exactly what's been going on at your club. And one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, we talked about off air, has been the style change. There is going to be a huge style change. So let's talk about that under Farke.
Right. Well, I mean, in terms of formations, we don't really know, to be honest. It's going to be interesting to see. What we've seen in pre-season is a three-man defence with wing-backs, a bit like you saw with Chelsea last season. And that is where the smart money is. Seems quite clear that he has several different formations up his sleeve. So I don't think it's going to be one system he's going to play for the full season. He knows how to change it up, use a different system, you know, arranges defence differently, arranges attack differently, different options in the midfield. And, I don't think he's going to be a kind of a one formation kind of manager. And I think at times with Norwich last season, that's what we had. And I think this will be change it up for different games, but we expect to see this three at the back with wing-backs, and that's something we haven't really seen at Norwich, and I think that's an exciting kind of change.
Okay, very interesting what's going on there. And it's funny because Fulham obviously had a big change once Slavica Jokanović came in, the style change, and obviously you're going through that as well. It should be interesting to see how this all plays out. Okay, James, Norwich City have lost several players since last season. Talk about the players that have left and how much impact some of these players leaving could have on your upcoming season, or will they not have much impact at all?
Well, that's interesting. We expected change. I think it's fair to say we knew that was going to happen. So the losing players was not unexpected. Certainly, some of those players we would have liked to have kept, I think, had everything been equal. It started with us releasing players. Now, we released 7 players. 6 of those I wasn't bothered about. The one that I was slightly bothered about was John Ruddy, who right. I think is a good goalkeeper still and someone who leads. So of the 7 that were released, that was the one that stood out for me. In terms of other departures, Johnny Howson, Graham Dorans, I think they're good but replaceable, so I'm not overly bothered about that. The one that probably upset me the most was Jacob Murphy, because right. he's come through the youth system. He had a really good first season in the Championship, and you know, at 22, you could have him playing for another 10 years and all the rest of it. And the other side of that is that, you know, we saw with Jordan Pickford go for £30 million, and this guy's basically the same age, and the transfer fee was £10 million up front, and you could argue that maybe they've sold him a bit on the cheap there, given what the market is for that kind of player at that age. So it was a bit disappointing for me, but I can kind of understand if he said he wanted to move into the Premier League and get the opportunity. I can see why they took that opportunity, but it was just a little disappointing to lose someone that Norwich have invested in for so many years, and we've only really seen him for one season.
Okay, very interesting there, James. And that's why I wanted to ask you about the players that have left. The one that stood out to me was Murphy, so I'm glad that you talked about yeah. that. But let's look at the flip side, because it looks like you brought in a huge yeah. amount of players. So talk about the additions to the club this season.
Again, it's a very interesting policy. I've been pleased with the way that Norwich have gone about it. It feels different to me from previous years, where they've got a clear plan, they know the kind of players they want, and also they've looked in different areas. You know, they've gone to the German market and picked up some good players from there. They've looked at the loan system, and we've bought in a couple of good loans from the Premier League, and also we've looked at other players within the British market. With Adam Phillips just a few days ago, just investing in the future, and we signed Tristan Abrahams from Leyton Orient. You know, another young player who's going to be loaned back to them at the moment. So you know, there's a real kind of push of investing for players in the future, and you know, I think what they've brought in into that first team, Marty Watkins from Barnsley, Mario Vancic from Germany, is I think those two signings are going to make a big impact, and I think they're the two that excite me the most at the moment.
Okay, very interesting that you've taken different ways of building your team back. You know, and sounds like you're happy with the way things are going. Before we look towards this upcoming match, let's talk about Norwich City so far in the preseason. They've gone undefeated. So how does the team look so far? Is it too early to get a view on where they're headed?
I'm always a little bit careful about reading too much into preseason because I think we've seen in the past teams sure. have fantastic pre-seasons, and then when the season starts, you know, they lose the first five games. Equally, we've seen teams have very underwhelming pre-seasons but start the season very well. So I think we have to remember that pre-season is largely a matter of fitness and being ready from that point of view. In terms of the results and the preparation, I think it's gone about as well as it could have done, because, you know, Norwich, they've given themselves some tough games. They've had a spell in Ireland, they've had a spell in Germany, they've had some games away within England, and then they had a tough game against Brighton at home, and you know, they've managed to come through that spell without losing a single game. So that preparation is good. I think what's good as well for me is Daniel Farke has used the preseason very well, because he's incorporated in his ideas and his system. He hasn't been experimenting too much, I don't think. I think he's more been moulding how he wants the team to play for the start of the season. I think that spell will put him in good stead, because the players are already getting used to the kind of system that he wants to use. Whereas had he hadn't done that, then the transition period might be harder. So yeah, I've been pleased with the preseason.
Okay, and it's very good by you to mention the preseason, because you just don't know what you're going to get. You could look great in the preseason, and then, like you mentioned, the regular season, once it begins, it might not click the way that you thought it was going to. So it's difficult, but it's always good to have a positive preseason. You know, it can't hurt. So let's see what happens as we head towards the opening match. Now let's get there. But let's start with something that's very interesting, James. I was speaking to Ryan O'Donovan from Get West London the other day, and we talked about that this match could also be about the players who won't be able to play, and on both sides, or could be injured. In Fulham's case, we have some injury doubts heading into this match, and Norwich City have a suspension with Stephen Naismith. They have some injuries of players that are going to be out, Alex Pritchard and Tim Klose. And then I was just reading that Daniel Farke and his press have mentioned that there are some injury doubts headed into this match. So let's talk about the player that's going to be out, and then, of course, the players that are definitely out, and then, lastly, the players that might be out. How much of an impact will all this have for this match for your club?
Well, you know, injuries for your first game is never great, because you want to have everyone available, and, you know, that's at the start of the season, so you're ready to see who really steps up and keeps himself in the team. And, you know, so it's not great to have these injuries that mean that, you know, certain positions aren't what you want to be. But that being said, I mean, you know, you mentioned Stephen Naismith divides opinion amongst Norwich fans, but for me, he hasn't done what we hoped. Sure. And so he's suspended for the first two games, I think, and that is not a big issue for me, because okay, he hasn't really performed like we wanted to see so far. And we hope this season it will be different and we will see a different side to Stephen Naismith. But I wouldn't have put him in my starting lineup for this game had he been available. So I don't see that as a massive issue. On Tim Klose, again, he's someone who divides opinion, and you know, I'm on the opposite side of that argument, that I think Tim Klose is a lot better of a player than a lot of fans give him credit for. But again, he may not have necessarily been first choice. So it's very much the Alex Pritchard one. And I think Wes Houlihan may also be doubtful. I don't know. But those sorts of players are the ones that they're going to hit Norwich the most, because, you know, Pritchard, for example, had a stunning spell in the second half of last season. And, you know, if you want a bit of a prediction, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the standout player in the Championship this season. So him being out, and I think he might even be out for the first couple of months, not quite sure what the extent of the injury is, but it'd be so. Yep. And that's gonna hit Norwich. But on the other hand, they've got a young player in James Maddison who hasn't really had his opportunity in the Norwich first team yet. He's been heavily involved in pre-season, and I think we're excited to see whether he can step up and take the opportunity that Pritchard's injury will obviously, you know, open that opportunity for him.
You know what's funny, James, while you were saying this, I was thinking of what Ryan O'Donovan said to me, because I asked him about Naismith, and he said for him the bigger loss would be Pritchard, because Pritchard really impressed him against Fulham. So I understand why you're going on that, and you're very high on them. But like you mentioned, it does give the opportunity for someone else to potentially step up. So I'm glad that you mentioned that as well. All right, let's now get further into this match. Let's just talk about, I know it's difficult because this is a brand new team for you, but where do you see the strengths and weaknesses of Norwich City heading into this match?
Well, I mean, we have to go with what we hear and know about Daniel Farke so far. And, you know, from what I understand, we are going to see he's going to be his own man, but at the same time, we're going to see elements of what we see from other German managers. So we understand he's very big on possession. And he's very big on possession, but as well, I mean, if you look at Reading, for example, sometimes they keep possession, but they kind of sit off and make themselves compact and don't necessarily try and control the game with their possession. Whereas Daniel Farke is going to be different from that. He's going to really want to impose his game and show, you know, control the game with the attacking play as well as just keeping the ball. But equally, there's going to be an element of if they can't move forward, they're going to move backwards to retain possession. And that's the side of it that I think will be interesting with the fans and how patient they will be to see the ball going back to the goalkeeper and, you know, just being passed backwards and sideways that fans don't tend to like. But, you know, that's part of the philosophy of the game. So, you know, that should be the main strength. I think what we saw last season was a very poor defence. So that's going to be the most interesting side to it. Now, you know, as I mentioned, Norwich have added to that defence. They've added two top quality defenders from Germany. And I think, you know, the thing I like about them is they look like they're not the kind that are going to be bullied or pushed around in the championship. I think we saw that a bit from Norwich's last season. So, you know, I don't know how good they're going to be, but they don't look like the type that are going to be pushed off the ball easily or going to allow people to sneak in and everything else. So if Norwich can solve that big weakness, which is, I think we have to say, is the big weakness right now until it can be proved otherwise, then they should have a very good team. But what they've got to be careful of course, is not losing all the good attacking talent they've got and attacking play they've got, just to try and be better defensively.
Okay. You know, it's a balance. You know, you've got to be able to be very good defensively, but you have to have that ability to go forward. So if you can find the balance, it could be very good for you this season. But that's what it sounds like to me. Your weakness sounds like it's the defense. I do want to mention something, James, because you were talking about Wes Houlihan before. I have a quote here from the Norwich City FC Twitter account. It's a quote from Daniel Farke, so I'm just going to read this to you. It's about Wes Houlihan. Quote, Wes Houlihan is a little further on. He can't play 90 minutes, but is in the squad. He can be an option from the bench. End quote. So it sounds like he could be available to you, but off the bench. So that's not so terrible for you, but would you consider him one of your best players?
Yeah, at this moment, I would. I mean, I think as the season starts, maybe he won't be because other players will come up. But you know, I think he's 35 now, and he still play. He's got such an important part to play for Norwich. But you know, like the quote suggests, I don't think he's necessarily going to be a regular starter for Norwich this season, particularly when Pritchard comes back from his injury. I think Pritchard will be more often than not in the team ahead of him. Even if he's not playing a lot, he's still got such a great experience and everything else for someone to come on, because there's not many players that have his creative ability and just someone that if you're struggling to break a team down, he's a great option, but also someone to help the younger players and to, you know, tutor them in their game. And I think for someone like Maddison, who I mentioned earlier, who's such a talent but hasn't established himself in this Norwich side yet, you know, I think there's so much for Maddison to learn from Wes Houlihan, who's been playing at the top level for so long.
Okay, let's move on. I'm going to put you in the shoes of Slavisa Jokanovic. What would be your strategy against Norwich City?
Well, assuming that Norwich play the way we expect them to play, then the strategy, I understand Huddersfield, Fulham had quite a good record against Huddersfield last season, so that should put you in a good position to deal with the situation. But you know, I think you're going to have to stop Norwich trying to play their possession game and control the game and control the attacking side of it, because I know this is very much Fulham's game as well. I think this is what makes it very interesting. That, you know, if you look at the stats, Fulham and Norwich, you know, they're both going to play possession football. They're both going to look to play attacking football. So that's going to be interesting to see how each manager approaches the game, because, you know, you wouldn't have thought they can both play their usual game and necessarily, you know, get the result out of it. So we'll see if there's any kind of change from either team to the usual style. And it would be interesting to see if Fulham would consider a more cagey approach. I don't know. But again, you're at home, aren't you? So
yeah,
the fans don't want to see you sitting back and all the rest of it.
I can't imagine that, honestly. I would be very surprised by that. I can't imagine. Well,
exactly. So yeah. So it will be interesting, and we may find both teams try and set up in a similar way.
Well, what's interesting, and I'm just going to just mention this to you, I was reading from Paddy's Pointer on Eastern Daily Press. This is from the other day, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but Paddy was talking about Brighton started to press Norwich City, which started to see the results. And I actually expect Fulham to press Norwich City somewhere. Because, you know, you and I talked off air, Fulham at times would struggle when teams would try to press them, because it is about the possession style football. Would that be a concern for you?
I think we're pressing, I think, will be part of Norwich's game as well. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it depending on who lines up and who's the player who's going to try and control the game for Norwich's view. I mean, I think Vantage is someone that they may look towards. But yeah, if you press him, he's obviously new to the league and everything. That's what you're going to want to do. You want to deny them the space and stop them being able to pick out the passes and do it that way. So, and I'm sure we will probably see both teams looking to press as you know, they try and, because basically it's the same problem, isn't it? Whether it's Daniel Farke dealing with Fulham or Jokanović dealing with Norwich, you know, there's two possession sides who want to attack. So, you know, you've got to deny them to do that, really.
It's going to be interesting because it basically is playing your style back at each other. And that's why this could be a fascinating matchup. Two teams trying to basically force their style on the other when both probably have a similar style. So it should be fun. It should be interesting. All right, my friend. Okay, James, I want to ask you, which Fulham player are you most concerned with heading into this match for Norwich City?
Yeah, well, it will be interesting to see what kind of selection we see from both teams. I understand Kearney's got an injury doubt, so whether he plays or not will be interesting, because he's the one I would regard as being Fulham's best player and the one that I'd be most concerned about. But aside from him, I think Stefan Johansson and Sonny Aluku, both top players as well. So, you know, the Fulham midfield in general is extremely strong in my view. So, it's a case of keeping that quiet from Norwich's point of view.
Okay.
And I also think that Oliver Norwood that you got on loan is a great piece of business, because he did brilliantly.
I agree with you.
He was at Cardiff before.
And he was at Reading before.
And he did really well in that season. And obviously with Brighton last season, he didn't play as much. But you know, if you're looking for that kind of midfielder, I think he's a really good signing, and you've got Callas back on loan as well. So, you know, I think without spending a lot of money, I think that's really good business.
I agree with you. I look forward to seeing what Oliver Norwood can offer for him. And it's a good point with the situation with Tom Kearney. We're not sure. You know, I believe it's been reported that he was back in training on Wednesday. I saw a report on that. Again, nothing from the club. I'm just a report was that he was going to be back in training. So hopefully he is back, but we'll see what happens on Saturday if he's available.
But again, from our point of view with Pritchard, you know, I think if he can, he wasn't available, that kind of evens it up again. So that would be an interesting situation.
Sure,
whoever's going to step in for Pritchard and whoever's going to step in for Kearney, whether they can, you know, they can replace the obvious quality that will be missing there.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It, you know, and it's funny because it sounds like to me you put Pritchard at the same level as Kearney. So that's high praise because I see Kearney as one of the best in the division. It sounds like you see Pritchard the same way. Very interesting there, my friend. All right.
If he could be used right by Farke, you know, like I said earlier, I think he could be the, you know, both Kearney and Pritchard, depending on injuries and form and everything else. But I think that they will be two players to watch this season.
Totally agree with you, my friend. All right. Let's wrap this up with your prediction for this match.
I'm going to go with an extremely boring 0-0 simply because of what I said, you know, that I think we might see two teams canceling themselves out and being the first game of the season, maybe fitness isn't quite where we'd like it to be. And, you know, I think, you know, it could just be a bit of a stalemate as you sometimes see at the start of the season.
Okay, you know, it's funny. I want to see goals, but I understand why you went with that. It could be a situation with both teams cancel each other out like we're talking about here, playing back to each other, trying to break each other down, and it could be that situation. It's very interesting. All right, my friend, before we go, please tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter and also this website. Please give them the website address.
Yeah, so allsportsnews.co.uk. So in terms of my profile on there, there isn't much in terms of author profiles, but you know, you'll see my articles on the front of that page every so often. If you see anything that says championship in it, you know, good chance it's going to be mine. So, you know, that's the best way to keep up with me. And in terms of Twitter, you can find me at JamesKent076. Just type that in and you'll find me on Twitter. But you can also, if you click on my name from All Sports News, there's also a link to my Twitter from there. So,
okay, great. Highly recommend following James when it comes to Norwich City. You are my number one source, my friend. So that's why I'm glad I could get you back on Cottage Talk. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's great.
Okay. Well, just want to thank James Kent for joining me today on Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.